Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. It's so good to see you. Thanks for being at Church on the Rock. And I know 11 a.m. that we're not used to this, but I want to welcome all of you who are tuning in online as we are live streaming right now. It is so good to have you. If you were trying to connect earlier, we had a technical difficulty. I'm glad you're connected to us now. Would you guys give it up for everybody tuning in online? Welcome to the service. It is a packed house in here. It's good to see everybody. We've got a lot going on today, everybody. It's a busy, busy day at Church on the Rock. Here's some of the things that are happening. Today, our life groups go live. They launch today. So outside for you, if you have not partaken already, are some Krispy Kreme donuts that you can enjoy. Come on, if you've been fasting 21 days, that sounds real nice. All right, some Krispy Kreme donuts for you that you can eat. You can connect with some of our team to tell you a little bit more about how you can connect to groups and how you can actually really connect to the church itself. And so I like to say it this way. I probably stole it from a really wise leader, but I'm going to claim it as my own right now, that we're good in rows. We're great in circles. We've got to have relationships, everybody. So if you're not connected to the people of the church, you're not getting the full church experience. I promise when you get connected to groups, you're going to meet some of the greatest people that you've ever known. You could connect to the actual relationship that would really change the rest of your life. Not only do we have that going on, but we have a very, very important meeting happening right after this service at 12:30. This is talking about our expansion into the St. Augustine High School auditorium that is fast upcoming. And so this is a big invite to anybody that wants to come. So if you are already on the team, I would love to see you there. If you want to be on the team, I would love to see you there. We've got 300 barbecue box lunches ready to distribute to anybody that's willing to stay. We're going to have some pizza and things for your kids. Listen, there's food everywhere, y'all. It's everywhere. Here's what I'm going to say, though. If you want to learn more, if you want to learn how you can get involved and make a difference, that meeting is for you. If you're not interested in that, that's perfectly okay with us, but don't eat their food, all right? Go buy your own food. That lunch is for them. Come on, say amen right there. All right, that's for the people staying. And then at the end of this service, probably one of the most important things we're going to do today is we're going to receive communion together. And so we've just, as a church, ended a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting where people have separated from things they enjoy, sometimes things they need. We have separated from all kinds of things for these 21 days and really just put our attention on the heart of God. And so at the end of this service, one of the ways that I prefer to end seasons of prayer is with the Lord's Supper. So like, let's break the bread that represents his body. Let's drink the juice that represents his blood. And so we'll be doing that right at the end of this service. Also in this service, lots is going on. Also in this service, we have a student section, everybody. I need to hear from them. Where are my students at over there? How in the world are you guys that quiet? All right, hang on. Rewind. Hey, something else that's going on today. Lot going on today, everybody. But something else that's going on today is that we have a student section. Would love to hear from the students over there today. That's a little better. It's a little better. And I'm going to let you get away with it, though you just slid in. You barely made it. Our students are just getting back from Rock the Universe. So they spent yesterday riding roller coasters and doing simulations that make me puke. But they are all about it. And so they made it back for the 11 a.m. They're kind of grouped up together. So welcome to every one of the students. Glad to have you guys. Give it up for the next generation, everybody. It's good to see you. All right. So before I get into today's message and the final installment of a sermon series we've been doing called First Priority, I want to promote what's coming, if that's okay. So next month, we're going to start a brand new series. I love to teach in series. It's just the way that I prefer to go most of the time. Next month, we're going to start a brand new series, and it's going to be called It's Complicated. It's Complicated. And what we're going to be talking about is relationships. How many of you know when it comes to relationships, it's complicated, right? Even good ones. Even good relationships, it's complicated. There's a lot of detail to that. There's a lot of things that could go right and a lot of things that could go wrong. And so next month, we are going to be talking about things like forgiveness and how to get over some bitterness, how to deal with people perhaps that have wronged us or issues that we've had with people in our past. We are going to talk about marriage and what the Bible defines and how we can walk in a marriage that is honoring to the Lord and would actually be what God wants it to be. And then we're going to talk about being single and talk about what does that look like and how do I live that life at different stages of my life. We're going to talk about all these topics next month in a series we're calling It's Complicated. So I would love to see you there. Sound good? All right, good. Well, listen, let's get into the final installment of our current series. We'll be calling it First Priority. So if you're a note taker, everybody, in the seat backs in front of you, there should be some sermon note handouts. If you're in the front row, they're underneath your chair. If you're tuning in online, the link to the notes should be in the description for you. You don't have to take notes. It's just something we make available to you. But I'm going to take you back to the verse that we've started every message this year with so far. This is kind of, let's just make a small adjustment. It's kind of where we've been this year. Matthew, there's a story where Jesus is being asked this question. And the question is, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And then Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he says, this is the, say it with me, it's the first and greatest commandment. It's the first and most important commandment. Here's, can I paraphrase? Here's what Jesus is saying. I should be your first priority. And I think that we all can agree that when Jesus is first, everything else seems to find its place. Everything else does. When Jesus is where he should be, the way that we say it at Church on the Rock, it's our very first core value, Jesus over everything. Everything else. And if Jesus is over everything, then everything else in my life will eventually fall into its appropriate order. So Jesus should be more important than my job, than my spouse, than my children, than my money, than my goals, my dreams, my aspirations. Jesus, everybody, should be the first priority. Amen? Amen. And so here's what I want to do. I like to be a practical preacher. I feel like if you can't use on a Monday what I said on a Sunday, it's a big waste of your time. And so last week, that message got loads and loads of traction. A lot of people told me how beneficial it was to them. And so last week on the back end of my message, I was talking about this, what and who. Some of you guys were with us and you might remember. We talked about this. One of my heroes in the faith has this thing that he says, that instead of setting what goals, we should set who goals. So instead of in the beginning of a year, New Year's resolutions, come on, fresh starts, right? Some of us do that. And I've been the guy that's been the champion of that for you. Listen to me carefully. I believe you can set goals and attain them. I believe that you can determine who you want to become and you can become that person. Say amen right there. I believe in you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. And so I'm not going to be the guy that talks about the overwhelming statistics that most people's New Year's goals fail before the 1st of February. I'm going to be the guy that says there is a statistic that some people get it done. And I believe that you can get it done. And so what we talked about last week was the difference between who and what. So instead of setting a bunch of goals about what I want to accomplish, I will set goals about who I want to become. We said it like this just for review. It's also in your handout. We're going to focus less on what you want to change, and we're going to focus more on who you want to become. Because if who I become changes, then what I do changes. So I may want to be less impulsive. Save more money. I may want to actually not like spend the way that I spend and actually have some savings. So rather than set some financial goals about what I want in my bank account or what I want to refrain from, maybe we set a goal that says, I want to be a good steward of my resources. It's a who goal, not a do goal. Is that making sense? And so I will determine who I want to be, that I am a wise steward. And because I'm a wise steward, I have savings. Because I'm a wise steward, I'm not impulsive. Because I'm a wise steward, I know how to create budgets that sustain me over the course of time. If I can set an idea of who I am to become, then it will determine what my life does. Everybody tracking? Everybody. So what I want to do today is I want to go deeper. Like I want to dig into this. And so the majority of my message today, I'm going to be talking to those of us who are walking with Christ Jesus. Like we're believers. We're born again. We're Christ followers. I'm going to be talking to us. But if you're like, well, yeah, but that's not me. Hang tight, because I haven't forgotten about you either. But I want to start here that if I'm going to determine or set goals and aspirations of who I want to be, then this is the most important thing that we can understand. We need to recognize our identity, Christ's followers. And the Bible says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become, say it with me, to become children of God. Listen to me carefully. This is essential that we understand. That if I am following Christ Jesus, I must understand that I am a son of God. Ladies, you must understand that you are a daughter of God. It is who you are. So you're not trying to live out a life that's full of what Christian people do. You're trying to live out a life of identity of who you are in him. And if I can establish who I am in Christ Jesus, it will dictate what I do in my life. And it has to start there, because the accuser, the enemy, is going to come and he's going to do everything he can do to pull you away from your identity. Surely God couldn't love you when you act like that. Surely God couldn't give you forgiveness for the things that you've done. And I know year after year after year, you've set the same goal and you've hoped for the same thing, and look at you now. And what he wants to do is make our who change. But what we're going to have to do is stand firm in our identity in Jesus and say, look, I might be full of flaws and I might have issues and I might be making some mistakes and I might be making some repetitive mistakes, but I am God's son. I am God's daughter. He is calling me to become the child of God that I was created in him to be. Amen. It's about my identity. And then as a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, my heavenly father, as that son, then I can set some who goals that line up with that. So as a follower of Jesus and a son of God, then I am going to be a good steward, because that's what these children do. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, all right. So my hope today is to really get a little bit deeper. So we talked about the who and the what. I've refreshed us a little bit on what that is. And so my hope is just that let's go a little further, because I really want this to be able to be sustainable for our lives. And so what I want to talk to you about today is small steps. Small steps, little things, like the little tiny things that are easily overlooked, small steps. And I'm going to give you several quotes from a couple of my heroes in the faith this morning. And the first one is this. It's by Pastor Chris Hodges, and he says that small steps become giant leaps. Small steps, little things. You guys ever experienced that in your life? You ever just started doing something that's kind of small? Just a little here and a little there, and it's just, you know, over time, all of a sudden, you get down the road a ways, and you just sort of look back, and you go, man, look at me now. Man, I remember when. Anybody in the room, am I the only one? Okay, all right. Where it's like some small steps turned into some change that became recognizable to you, and then all of a sudden, you're like, man, I'm really doing it. I'm really getting there. I'm really transforming or changing or whatever the case may be. I just decided to eat healthier. And then all of a sudden, after a couple of months, I've noticed that some weight has come off, right? Man, look at that. Because the small steps do in fact become the giant leaps. Amen. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you three thoughts today. Three thoughts. If you're a note taker, you can write this down. Again, you don't have to. You can pull out your smartphone, take pictures of the screen. You don't have to do anything. You can just receive. But I like provide opportunities. But I'm gonna give you three things that I want you to have today that I think are going to help you with the who that God is calling you to be. And so here it is. Number one, I want to encourage you to embrace small steps. Embrace them. Let me say it this way. Be okay with them. Be okay with small steps. Little things. The little things that you might find or think sometimes to be insignificant. Like, for an example, like maybe you never spent any daily time with God. None. Like, you would just show up to church on Sunday and you would get inspired, and man, you felt all fired up. My message was for me. It's so good. And you feel like you can walk out of the service and go bear hunting with a switch. You know what I mean? Like, you God, come on, let's do this. But then no time with God all throughout the week. And by the time you drag yourself back in here on Sunday, you're just desperate, like, fill me back up. Come on, that happens, right? Come on, we all been guilty, myself included, okay? But maybe it's small steps that, you know what, instead of no time with God, I'm just going to have 5 minutes a day with him. 5 minutes. Here's what I'll do. I'll open up my YouVersion Bible app on my device. Come on, if you don't have that, you need to download that today. I'm gonna open up my YouVersion Bible app on my phone, and I'm just gonna read the verse of the day, and I'm gonna say a simple prayer and invite God to be a part of my day today. That's what I'm gonna do. And you know what it is? It's a small step. It's a small step. But if we're not careful, we'll think, well, what difference could that make? I can imagine the difference that 5 minutes a day with God can make. Well, let me tell you something. Getting a consistent, small deposit of God's truth into your life each and every day over the course of time can transform your life. I'm gonna tell you something. I've had some meals sometimes I'll never forget. You know what I mean? Like, you remember that date you had? Y'all went out to that place and you did the a la carte restaurant, and like, that steak was the best thing you ever tasted, and you'll never forget it. But what about all the other meals that you don't remember? Listen to me, they were good for you. They might not have been memorable. They might not have been life-changing, but they sustained you and they carried you and they helped you get to your next meal or to your next day. It's the same thing with the power of God's truth. Can you imagine a small dose every day of God's living word being deposited into us? Can you just imagine a small communication with the Father each and every day in our lives? Embrace small steps. Can I go a little deeper with this? I also want to encourage you to embrace the small steps of others. I'm going to preach now. Yeah. Yeah, because I know that in your house that you daydream about smothering him with a pillow, not until he's dead, but until he thinks he's gonna be there. And you just wish that he would get on your page and think your way and do it your way. And dear God, if this man would just love God the way that I love God, right? And he's driving you crazy. Or maybe it's that child that, my gosh, if we survive the seventh grade, it's gonna be a miracle, right? Come on, we all been there. Middle school's tough, everybody. It's hard on them kids, right? But on the parents, we're about to lose our mind. But listen, don't negate, don't downplay, don't diminish small steps if they're being taken. Embrace them, embrace them. If he's doing anything positive, anything good, if that child has anything going on good in their life, embrace that small step, empower that small step, celebrate that small step, because what gets celebrated gets repeated. And so we need to learn to walk in grace and mercy toward other people. And yeah, maybe they're not growing at the rate that we wish they would, but embrace the small steps. Embrace the small, they matter, they matter. Amen, amen. I'm gonna give you a verse right here. I love this verse with all my heart. Oh, so much. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings. Why? Because the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. He loves it. He loves it. And he's like, hey, don't worry if it's small. It doesn't have to feel huge and major. It can be a little thing. I love to see the work begin. Come on, is this serving you well this morning? All right, here we go. Number two, if you're a note taker, is this. We're going to embrace small steps. Number two, we're going to commit to small steps. Commit to them. Like have some, can I use this word? Discipline. Maybe in January, maybe it's not too late in January to say resolution. You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Okay. I'm going to do it. I want to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. Therefore, I am going to take the small step of time with God every day. I want to become a good steward of my resources. So I am going to commit to small steps that are going to change how I believe about the way that I spend, the way that I save, the way that I buy. Because I want to be someone who's healthy and fit, I'm going to change the small things that's going to turn me into who I'm trying to become. And I'm going to commit to them to the end and go the distance with them. Because listen to me, society is working against you. Society wants instant success. Come on, we want the results right now. I drafted you yesterday. You should be the star player of the league tomorrow. That's what we want. I went and I took your resume and I did the interview, gave you the job. You need to be the game changer in my company right now. And society doesn't appreciate the commitment to small things because it wants instantaneous success. But let me tell you something, that's not always how it goes. It's little things. It's the commitment to the little things that take us places in our lives. Watch, the Bible proves it. One who is faithful in very little, is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Here's what happens, is that we will downplay the significance of small positive things, and conversely, we will downplay the significance of small negative things. Let me explain and we'll move to point number three. That I can't possibly, I've been meeting with God for 5 minutes a day for 8 days. I feel the same way I felt 9 days ago. This isn't working, and we negate the significance of the small step. Stay committed. Stay committed. Conversely, we will sometimes downplay the significance of negative small steps. Well, I was late to work. Nobody said anything. Nothing fell apart. It's perfectly fine. And then all of a sudden, I was late again, and no one said anything that time. And then now it's just kind of become kind of a pattern, but nobody seems to care. It's not that big of a deal until your boss, who might not have the courage to actually say, you need to be prompt and on time, is starting to build a belief about you. You're building a reputation. And then when the bright young new star shows up, he might just give your job to them because they value it enough to be here on time. And the little negative things, they start to compound. But the little positive things, they start to compound. And in both directions, little things matter. And so I need to commit to the small things. I'm going to do these things because it's going to develop who I'm becoming. Amen. Give you a quote that I love. I'm going to give you a couple of these today. It's the things that no one sees that brings the results that everyone wants. One of my favorite leaders in the world, Pastor Craig Groeschel. It's just the things that nobody sees. It's the commitment. It's the commitment. It's the stuff that nobody's going, well done. Good job. Nobody's noticing those things. You're just doing them. You're committed to them. But it's transforming you. It's building a confidence in you and a belief in you about who you are and what you're capable of. It's the commitment to the little things that compound and build us toward giant leaps. Amen. Amen. All right, number three, and we're about to close. You ready? Some of you guys are like, yeah, man, I'm ready for barbecue. All right, let's get there. Let's get there. Amen. Amen. So we're going to embrace small steps. We're going to commit to small steps. And then we're going to trust small steps. Trust them. Like, trust the process. Trust that it's going to work if you just continue and stay faithful. Trust that if I just commit to this and these little things that are going to transform me into who God's calling me to be, they're going to develop me. They're going to begin to change my belief about me, and I'm going to begin to see myself the way that God sees me. I'm going to be transformed by the renewal of my mind because I'm committed to these things, these steps that are taking me into the direction of who God is calling me to be. And now, because who I am is changing, what I do is changing. Look what the Bible says. It says, so my dear brothers and sisters, it's talking to Christ's followers, be strong, and watch this, immovable. There's the commitment. Right there, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is useless. Nothing. It all matters. It all carries significance. So I'm going to use an illustration from Pastor Craig, the guy that I quoted just a moment ago. In his first podcast this year, I'd listened to him preach, I listened to his podcast, I read his books. I'm a fan, okay, I am. Let's pray that I meet him one day. It'd be killer. Anyway, and in his first podcast, he gave this illustration, and I want to use it today. How many of you have ever boiled water? Boiled some water? Yeah? Maybe you boiled just a little bit of water for your tea during 21 days of fasting because it was caffeine-free. Where y'all at? Day 22, praise the Lord. There's this thing, though, about water, whether it's a little bit for maybe a glass of tea or your ramen noodles, 3 minutes, and you have a glorious, nutritious meal. Where are my students at? Amen, somebody. Especially the ones that come in the little foam cups. Come on, where y'all at? With the little vegetables on the top. How many of y'all pour the vegetables out? All right, Katie, my daughter, does. That's some of my favorite. I put a little spicy stuff in there, mix it up. I ain't skinny by accident. Maybe it's just a little water, or maybe you're preparing the potatoes for the big family gathering on Friday night, and you're making the mashed potatoes, and it's a lot of water in the potatoes that are in there, right? And either way, whether it's a little or a lot, it takes a certain amount of time to get that water boiling, right? Here's what kind of happens. It's like you get the water to 100 degrees. And then it it starts to build, and eventually you're at 150 degrees. Builds a little more, now it's 190 degrees. It's getting warmer, but you can't really see much difference in there. A couple bubbles maybe at the bottom starting to build. Something wildly unique takes place at 211 degrees. You know what it is? Really hot water. It's real hot. Real hot. But at 212 degrees, it begins to boil. It's really what you're looking for. Because you want those noodles to cook in 3 minutes. You want that tea to be piping hot because you're going to pour some cold almond milk in there. Gosh, help us, Jesus. Well, you need those potatoes to get soft so you can mash them, right? But here's the thing. It was just 1 degree at a time. Just little by little by little, it built. Because I've got to trust the process, that it works. And so for us in our lives, we've got to determine that, hey, I'm going to be okay. I won't despise small beginnings. I'll embrace small steps. And you know what? I'm not going to be the one that gives up after a short amount of time like everybody else. I'll be unique. I'll be somebody different than the crowd. I'll commit to small steps all the way to the end. And I'm going to trust that these small steps are compounding in a process to take me to who God is calling me to be, because small steps matter. The other night, my oldest daughter, Janelle, led us in prayer, and she taught on a word. Somebody said the word that was in prayer. It was consistency. She almost made it famous in our church, I feel like, in a moment. But it's actually one of our core values. We believe that consistency matters. We say it. So I'm going to finish with one more quote right here. Successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. Small steps over time, consistently taking me where God is calling me to go. So here's the question that I'm going to leave you with today. Here's your question. So if you're a note taker, write this down in a blank line somewhere or in the margin of your notes. Type this into the notes of your phone. Here's the question. What one thing, if it changed in your life, would make the biggest difference? Don't overwhelm yourself with all that needs to change. Take some small steps. What's one thing that I know, if this changed, it would matter. It would make a difference. It would influence my life. It would carry me toward who God has called me to be. That's how you can apply this. Answer that question. And then listen, embrace the small step of starting to work on that one thing. Commit to the small step of working on that one thing. And trust the small steps are going to take you to who God wants you to be. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Someone looking around, please. I said a little bit ago that lately I've really been tailoring these messages very specific to followers of Jesus. But then I said, if that's not you, stick around because I want to talk to you. This is that moment that I want to connect with you. So maybe you're in this room, you're tuning in online at a live stream, maybe you're playing this back on YouTube sometime or listening to a podcast, traveling to a destination, however it is that you're receiving this content, I just want to speak to you. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, but somehow today you felt something on the inside pulling you toward his heart. I just want to tell you what that is. That is the Holy Spirit of the living God inviting you into a personal relationship with God. And there's only one way that you can have that relationship, and that is through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. So what I want to do is introduce you to Jesus today. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask you today to do one thing, just one. I'm going to invite you to repeat a very simple prayer after me. I won't ask you to stand or walk to the front. Certainly if you're online, I'm asking you to do a simple thing. Just let's say a prayer together. Because this is a small step, but it will become a giant leap in your life. In fact, it's probably the greatest step you'll ever take. So church family, you know how we do it. I always lead us in this prayer, and I ask everybody in the room to say this prayer out loud with me, everybody. And the reason that we do that is we want the people saying it for the first time to be able to say it with confidence. This is about you. This is your moment. We want you to know God. And so here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart, forgive me my sin, wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's congratulate those that made that decision wherever you are. Congratulations, congratulations. We are so proud of you.